Hi, today's scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 11, 1 to 17. And if you don't have a Bible, you can share with a person beside you and make some friends. Or else you can, there's some Bibles in front of you if you don't have your own Bible. So Deuteronomy 11, 1 to 17. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. So now I'll just pass it on to Pastor David Ho.
Good morning, congregation. I feel very honored to be among you today. Before I start, maybe let's have a very brief prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us this worship time. Now, it's a sermon. Could the Holy Spirit be with us and help us to understand your word? Help us to live out your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I know this is the beginning of 2017, and I also know, if I'm not wrong, the semester just started, right? For many, how many students are here? High school or post-secondary? Your classes just start. I really think this passage has something to say about to us. You know, that's almost like several thousand years ago. A group of Israelites, they stood by the river, the Jordan River. They were hesitant because their leader, Moses, would not lead them into the land. They faced the uncertainty ahead of them. And I'm sure you guys uncertainty is also in front of you. What next? What next? What am I going to do this year? A lot of questions. Now, my title is God Take Care of It All Year Long. Of course, we know intelligently God take care of us all year long, all our lifetime, no doubt about it. But sometimes we falter, we doubt, we stumble. And I hope this passage will help us from now on in 2017, will help us on our path. If we are offense for Patricia to read the passage, I'm not going to repeat. But if you look at verse 1 to 7, it's Moses talked to them, say, to love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his law, and his commands always. Now, those people were about 60 or under. I don't know if you know the story about the Exodus. The Israelites, they left Egypt, went through the wilderness. It took about 18 months. Then they were about to enter the promised land. However, something happened. Disobedience popped up. And God was so angry. He said, this generation would not enter the promised land. Forget it. So what happened? They have to wander in the wilderness for another 38 years. God said the next generation could go on. But the old generation, they stay. They die in wilderness. Now it's time. This younger generation, now it's not that young. They were under 60. They stood by the Jordan River. Tomorrow, they will cross the river into the promised land. I'm sure there are a lot of doubts. There are a lot of what if in their minds. So Moses said, I'm not going, but I tell you what you should do is to love the Lord your God and keep his requirement, his decrees. Why he said all this? He said, you have seen all the miracles happen in the wilderness. You've seen the miracles, the greatest miracle. Actually, if you read the Psalms and the Old Testament, you know that the Jews, they always emphasize one miracle is to cross the Red Sea. This is the main part of their salvation history, crossing the Red Sea. And they saw God open the Red Sea. They passed through, and the Egyptian army tried to go through this similarly. They all get drowned. They passed the Israelites. They got into the wilderness, and God sent the manna. God lead them with pillars of cloud in the daytime and pillar of fire in the nighttime. Wow. Miracle after miracle. I wish I could be seeing all those. But the Israelites, they have seen all those. So Moses tell them, you know, you've seen them. So what you should do? You know God cares you for 40 years. Now, before you enter the promised land, remember that. Remember that. This is the first advice Moses gave to the Israelites. And then the second part is verse 8 to 12. He said, observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. They know they would have got it. They know the promised land is theirs. But somehow, you know, they just lack the strength. the lack of the encouragement. It's not can or cannot, but somehow we just, you know, feel a little uncertain. I'm sure someone here, people working, right? There's some working class people. Let me ask you, when you get your first job, your boss tell, you come tomorrow, work in this, I have an office for you. How will you feel that night before your first job? Can I really do it? What if I cannot? What's going on? What work will he give to me? You got a lot of those questions. Right? I have. Or sometimes when you change your job, say, if you were a programmer, but somehow you change to another job, you do something completely different. And then the night before, say, can I really do it? Can I transfer my skill to another job? There's a lot of things in your mind. You know God cares you, but somehow you still doubt. You feel, well, I wish God would be with me. That happened. And that happened to those people. Moses is not with us now. So we cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. What next? We are facing all those giants now. Can we defeat them? Can we take the land and process forever? Will they fight back and kill us? Lots of things. But Moses said, just observe all the command I'm giving to you, and you will have the strength. That's the most fundamental thing you have to do, to obey God. He didn't teach him how to fight in a battle or anything, but just the most critical thing is to observe all the commands. And Moses also told them, said in verse 10, the land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have to come, where you plant your seed and irrigated it by foot as in vegetable garden. Now Moses told them, the land you enter is different. It's completely different from what you have seen. Why? Moses wanted them to have a brand new picture because their generation have been living in Egypt for too long that they don't know what the Promised Land is. They don't know. One thing. No, I've been in Egypt. I've been in Israel. When I travel in Egypt, I saw a lot of building have no roof. No roof. I don't know now. But at that time, when my two of us drove along the street, I saw many buildings have no roof. So I asked the tour guide, hey, what happened? Is that because the war, they bombed the Israeli Air Force bomb on the roof or what happened? What happened? And the tour guide said, I can't remember clearly, but I remember one thing. He said, well, one reason, people don't have enough money to finish it. But another main reason is, as far as I can remember, that if they don't build a roof, the building was not finished. So they pay less tax. I said, well, what happened if it rained? I said, don't worry. In 1 year, they only rain about 2 or 3 days. So, well, how do they get the water? They get the water from the Nile River. But the problem is, at that time, the Nile River is very heavily polluted. But that's true. For 1,000 years, Egyptians were basing their life on the Nile River. And every year, there was flood, and the flood just brushed all the good things and nutrition to the land. And the Egyptians, they live near the Nile River. So how do they do the irrigation? Well, very simple. They got enough slaves. They asked the slave to fret, and then use the wheel to push the water to the trenches. And they also built a lot of those pits nearby. So the water was transferred by treading and then to next pit. And then they have tons of slaves, so they just keep treading. And that's how the land was irrigated and how they have all the produce. Israelites, they were slaves doing that in Egypt for 400 years. No rest. So how about weekends? Well, weekends only for modern time. At that time, there's no such thing as weekend holidays. You are kidding me. You keep threading all your life. The concept of weekend comes from the Ten Commandments, from the Sabbath. God knows they work too hard, so He gave them a command to rest for one day. So after they entered the Promised Land, they got at least one day to rest, the Sabbath. But Moses told them, you don't need to thread water anymore. You don't. Why? Because it's clear, we have the hill and the valley, the hills and the valley. When I was in Egypt, in Israel, I don't know if you have heard, there's a high mountain called Mount Hermon. It's really high. And now they have the ski lift, so you just take the ski lift all the way up. You can ski there. And when you finish ski, go down. You just take your bus to Tel Aviv, and then you can enjoy your boating. Wow. You can do either cold or hot. It's up to you. Just like we can ski in Whistler, and then we can do our yachting in English Bay. Isn't it good? This is the promised land they have. And Moses told them explicitly, this is brand new. Okay. I remember when we were in Egypt. Wow, it's so hot. But after I passed the border, I still remember it's Taba. I passed the border. Oh, it's just completely different. There was a hotel there. They have a big swimming pool about twice the size of this church. And we can just swim there free. Tons of water. And they said, well, don't worry. We got tons of water from the river. And you see the difference is God cares about the land that He's going to give to them. So Moses told them, God cares you guys for 40 years. And He will be carrying you in the future. So just obey God and have courage so you can cross the river and conquer those people. You will have the land. And then the last paragraph is from verse 13 to 17. However, He cautioned them. He said, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving to you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him and all this. But He said one thing. He said, be careful, on verse 16, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. There were many gods in the land Canaan, which is the promised land. There were many gods. And I think you know at least two is what? The Baal and Ashtaroth. Okay, the Baal is the god they believed to control the wind the rain, the sky, and the Asura is the god of the earth. So it's a female, and the Baal is a male god. So male and a female, and when they come together, you have produce. And that's how they believe. And because in ancient time, aggregation is very important. And if you run out of produce, you will be starved. So people there will firmly believe that Baal and Astro. But Moses cautioned them, hey, be careful. Don't ever touch those things. Don't ever touch those fake gods. He said, if you do, on verse 17, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land and the Lord is given you. This is the warning Moses gave to them. Obey the Lord when you get in, and don't ever touch with those false gods. If you do, God's anger will turn to you. Now I have to clarify a little bit theology on this part. God is not a conditional God. What it means is, say, if I do that, then he will do that. If I do this, he will do that. This is the God sometimes we believe, right? Well, if I behave, then he will do good to me. If I don't behave, he will be angry to me. This is how people believe. But that's not very accurate. If you believe something like that, God is a conditional God. You believe a God that will act upon what you do, and he will react. No. God is not a conditional God. What this passage means is, if you take those false gods, you sin, you just block the instrument of God's grace unto you. You understand? If you sin, if you do evil thing, you just prevent God to pour his blessing onto you. God is still God regardless how you do. He is not a conditional God. We are conditional. If you are nice to me, then I'm nice to you. If you are not nice to me, then I'm angry with you. This is conditional. But God always loves people. He wants to pour his blessing on you. But if you sin, you just block the way of the blessing. So it's no more blessing. So the land become dry, no produce, everything. It's all man-made problem. So this is that situation when they stood by the river and Moses advised them and cautioned them what to do and what not to do. So how does it apply to us today? We want to know. What does this passage try to lead us in 2017? The first, maybe a little bit hard for you because you are young, but still it applies, is we must remember all God's grace to us, and we respond by our submission. Then we will live on with faith. We remember all the grace God gave unto us, and we reply with submission, so that we will be living with faith. I know a lot of people here are very young. So your encounter with God may be relatively less. But however, remember this. From today on, know how God have treated you, how God's grace has been poured onto you. When you do that, you try to integrate God's grace into your life picture. Then in the future, whatever happened to you, you know this will be another part of your life picture where God will be in. Let me give you an example. While I was at UBC, I have a classmate. He's a very smart guy. He entered the Faculty of Dentistry. So he studied there. One night while I was in the fellowship, couldn't find him. So I asked, hey, where's John? And the people said, oh, John tonight is very busy. He won't be in. He is at home cleaning all those tools for the dentistry test, in the lab test. I said, wow, is that big deal? He said, and then my friend told me, he really had problem in the study. He couldn't come. And after about half semester, I met him. I said, hey, John, how's your study going? He said, I dropped it. I can't hack it. It's just too hard for me. And I said, I feel very sorry. He said, no, don't. I still feel God's grace on me. Maybe I'm not good for this. Maybe I should do something else. I was very glad he didn't have any bitterness or anything against God. He found this is just one piece of his life puzzle, but God is with him. And after that, if I can remember, he went to the Faculty of Medicine, become an MD. But he always remember that he flung 1 year. But that year, for him, is a mark of God's grace where he can turn to something else. So the first is always remember God has grace on us and reply with submission. If not, you will just fill with bitterness. Why he did like that to me? Why should I flunk the course? What good does it do to me now? Your life will just fill with bitterness. You won't give up. You won't let go. But remember, as Moses advised this to the people, always remember God's grace. Then you have the inner resource to tackle the things in the future. Second point, on the second paragraph I said, is to obey God, that you will have the real courage and the real faith to face the future. Everyone wish he has a crystal ball in front of him to know what happened in the future. Should I do this? Should I do that? That crystal ball will never come. You got to take courage to take on what you're going to do. So how? To obey God. Obey God, you will get the real courage. Sometimes we just live by our own flesh. Yeah, I can do it, no problem. I can pass this course. A piece of cake, no problem, I can do it. We just, without faith, we think we can do it. Yeah, sometimes we can. But sometimes when you fall, your fall will be too big. And at that time, you will have a lot of self-blame, a lot of hesitation, a lot of this and lots of that. Is God still with me? why I failed. I could have done this. Why? But if you obey God, you have a clear conscience. You have the courage. Well, I've done my best. I choose to obey. This happened. I'm not guilty. I feel free. So, that's very important. Remember, obey God, obey Him to get a real courage, real strength to live on. And also remember one thing. Remember, if you trust God, remember what He will be giving to you is the best. What He will be giving to you is the best. Just like Moses tell them, God is giving you the best land. So you have to remember, if you trust God, if you obey God, He give you the strength, He will give you the best. You say, come on, I have tons of problems now. You give me the best? Yes. I tell you a real story. In my last year at UBC, I study mechanical engineer. So in my last year of study, I really have a problem. I couldn't finish. So I went to the dean's office, say, I can't hack it. I got to finish. Let me drop out. But then the department head, so Dr. Philip Hill, he's also a Christian. He was in the fellowship with me. He said, no, I don't want you to, you got to keep on. I said, come on, I'm going to flung down. He said, no, stay. Any problem, come ask me. And then, miracle happened. Well, I live in Vancouver, and UBC has a rule that anyone live in Vancouver, they could not apply for a residence at UBC. Somehow, I have a friend, a classmate, he live in Nanaimo, so he have a residence in, if you know this, in Totem, Hyder, the Totem Hyder. So he said, Dave, I'm not taking the residence now. If you want, you take it. Well, that's a golden chance. So I took his residence. So every day, things have a drastic change. I just went to the class and then back to my residence study. So quiet, time's up. And then I went down to the cafeteria, had my lunch, had my dinner. Wow. Life was so good. Things changed. And Dr. Philip said, hey, how's it going? He said, wonderful. And then, after about 2 or 3 months, I start to feel a little bit bored. Now, every day, go to class, no problem. Across the street is the classroom. Go to lunch, everything looks good. But then I said to myself, kind of boring. I named my room, the residence called a free prison. A free prison. That means I got to go back there every day, regardless. Free prison. And I asked people around, oh, they have the same mentality. Oh, we're living in like a free prison. And said, oh, I wish I could get rid of it as soon as possible. And it happened. April 30, last day of the semester, last day of my school life. That night, one thing happened. All the rooms in the residence, all lights were up. Everyone just sit in his room. Ah, I finished now. No more school. And I talked to them and said, no, I used to live in your room, and then second year this room. Almost virtually every room, he live here, I live there. And then we all have one conclusion. We rather stay here forever in this free prison. And at that time, I just found out I was living in the best place in my life, and now I got to go. If you want me to, I want to go back there. I didn't realize God gave me the best place to go, and I complain every day. So, if you trust God, believe it. He put you in the best situation you can ever had. Come on, I'm still facing tough things. Yeah, I know. Everyone has. Maybe that's how He tests you. Maybe that's how He drives you. We don't know. The only time you know is years after you turn back. Then you know. Just like April 30, I look at it and say, come on, let me stay. But the warden said, you got to go. Pick up your stuff, go tomorrow. I want to stay. No. Hey, treasure the time that God give to you. He give you the best. And the last one is just to follow. Moses tell them to live there and be cautious. So, same advice this year. Choose to love God and be cautious of all the humanistic thinking. Now, we don't say like false God or whatever, but false gods still exist. It is in our secular society. So this year, choose to love God. Choose to obey Him. Choose to serve Him. What I mean is, we always stumble. We always fall. But we choose to. We grab that, okay? Even I fail, I still choose that. We have a choice. Whether you want to do God's way or you want to do your way, you have the choice. But you decide, okay? Be determined to choose that way. God will be pleased. He knows that we are weak. But we choose and we be cautioned not to get into all those secular things this year. We still try to obey God, just as Moses cautioned them to choose to love God and be cautious of all those false gods. We are so easily tempted. We are always very ignorant. We are always pompous, highly considered. So we easily get into secular things. But remember, we are now in God's hand. We still to obey Him, to follow Him, to choose. So to conclude, first is to remember all the grace God has poured onto you. He will save you as He saved you before. Trust that. So your life picture will be full of God's grace. Secondly, obey God to get the real courage and strength to live on. And to believe that, firmly believe that, once you obey, He will give you the best. He always give you the best. Last one, choose to obey God. Decide to obey God, to live on. And God's grace will be continue to be on you. And I hope this passage speak to you today. And let's have a short prayer before we close it down. Dear Lord, we thank you. This is 2017. We are facing brand new. But help us to remember all the grace that you give to us. Help us to firmly believe that once we obey, you give us strength and you will give the best to us. And help us to choose to love you, to serve you. From now on till in the future, we still love you. Help us. We know we are weak. But help us as you help those Israelites when they enter to the promised land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.